First thing to remember is that you don't have to believe the ideas. You don't have to believe the ideas. You need not 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 accept the ideas. You need not accept the ideas. You don't have to accept the ideas. You need not even welcome the ideas. So you don't have to welcome the ideas. Some of the ideas you may actively resist. Some of the ideas you may actively resist. Some of the ideas you might not like. Some of the ideas you might not like. Some of the ideas you might not like. Some of the ideas you might have a lot of resistance to. You're not asked to judge the ideas at all. You're not being asked to analyze the ideas at all. Some of it's going to be real startling. Some of it might startle you. Some of it might startle you. Some of it you may find hard to believe. Some of it you might resist. But if you will use the ideas, if you will apply the ideas, if you will use the ideas, you will see that the ideas are true. If you use it, you will see that it works. If you use it, if you apply the ideas, you will see that the ideas work. If you apply the ideas, you will see that the ideas work. See a lot of bodies. And the Course in Miracles says we're not bodies. That we have a body, but we're not a body. That we're really spirits. Spirits that are inhabiting physical bodies, who are innocent, who create their experience through their beliefs, perceptions. And, you know, everything we experience is a result of our consciousness, our perception, our beliefs. But we think we are bodies, but we're not bodies. We're more than bodies. We're totally unlimited beings. Of course, it says that our mind is divided between the part of us that fears and the part of us that loves. And the part of us that fears, it creates a world of fear. And the part of us that loves creates a world of peace. And depending on which side of your mind that you decide to side with, that determines what type of experience you perceive and have. And that people of a like mind all kind of join together, so you look like you're around a lot of people who basically believe what you believe. And the Course says there's just basically two beliefs, that we're one and that we're separate. And that if we believe we're separate, then that creates a certain type of perception of the world. And if we think we're one, then that creates another. So what we're trying to do is remove all the blocks, according to this book, that keeps us from being aware of the part of us that's totally cool, that's totally loved, that's totally happy, that's totally peaceful, that part is just as real. But it's blocked by the beliefs that we have. And that it's the beliefs that we have about each other that's between us, that makes us react to each other the way we do. That we're not reacting to each other directly. We're always reacting to each other's interpretations of each other. Like, even as you listen to me, you're listening to your interpretation of what I'm saying, but you think you're listening to me. You swear you're listening to me, but what you're really doing is you're really listening to what you're telling yourself about what I'm saying. That's a very important point. It looks like we're communicating directly, but we never are. You know, you and I both are always filtering every single thing we perceive through our beliefs that we've learned and experiences that we've learned in the past. So we're not really ever looking at each other directly. We're really just only seeing the past when we look at each other. According to the Course, we're just looking at our past learnings and experiences about each other. So when you look at me, you're looking at your past experiences with people who look like me. That's interesting. That's powerful. You know, every woman I've ever known is projected on every woman I see. And she becomes my filter that I picture all and view all women through. Same thing about men. So I'm not really seeing anybody. I'm just really seeing my own perceptions. So there's a lesson in the workbook that I've been working on that's been that's awesome that I'm going to continue to work on tonight. It's called Lesson 193 in the workbook. And I really appreciate you coming out. I really do. There might be a message for you. Be on the lookout. I don't know what it is. I'm going to kind of review paragraph 1, 2, and 3, but I'm not going to go through them in detail because I want to jump down to the meat. But basically, paragraph 1 tells us what our Creator wills for us so we can be clear about what we're supposed to be experiencing. Okay? And so the Course says, what we are supposed to be experiencing is an undisturbed happiness that lasts forever, that keeps on getting larger and larger, and that eternally expands, and it's totally open, and a happiness that's totally unlimited. So basically, the Creator's will for us is to have a happiness that constantly expands, that's totally unlimited, that never ends, that's constant, just gets bigger and bigger and more and more and more. That's premise number one. Again, we don't have to believe that, right? That's what I said at the very beginning. We don't have to believe these ideas, but I'm going to still give you the ideas. Okay. Then the next paragraph says that we don't see things that way. Is that true? We tend not to see it as unlimited happiness that's always gaining scope that never ends, right? Okay, so the Course says, in that case, we need help. So that which created us also gave us guidance and gave us help that would allow us to change our perception so that we could see the happiness that we're supposed to be experiencing in our life. That's cool. In other words, there's a part of us that the Course calls the Holy Spirit that's in touch with the truth of us, that's in touch with the Creator of us, and it's going to lead us back to where our way of seeing things ends, because according to the Course, the one thing that needs to end is your way of seeing things.
Amen.
Okay. He says, now remember that what I'm saying only applies to you if it applies to you. So if you don't agree, then it, you know, for you it might not apply. But there are some people that when I say it just the way it is, they go, mm-hmm. Because maybe they're at a point where they know that they have a perception that's not bringing them total happiness. And they believe that perception should cease. Mm-hmm. And then if a person is experiencing what they think of as a lot of happiness, which the Course basically defines as things going the way you think they should according to the way you made it up right now so you feel good.
Yeah.
He says, then you don't want that perception to cease. Right. So what we're talking about is I need help in having the perceptions in that bring me pain, and that I have help doing that. Then the next paragraph says how to have this state of happiness, which comes from knowing that you are sinless and knowing that you are innocent and knowing that you are not guilty. He says that we need, these are the kind of lessons that we need. We need lessons that teach us that we are sinless and guiltless and innocent. And it says, now, whenever you are learning the lesson that God would have you learn, he says, this is a lesson that's going to reflect loving kindness to you. So a lesson that's coming from love is a lesson that's coming from loving kindness, and it's a lesson that reflects loving kindness. So a lesson from the Creator is a lesson that's kind, that's loving. So the lessons that come from the part of you that loves you is kind and loving. Okay. All right. We hear that so far. Don't have to believe it. Don't have to agree with it. Don't have to see how that's always true. Okay. Then it goes on to say, that means that every lesson that you have, according to the book, say every lesson has a central thought, the same in all of the lessons. The form alone is changed with different circumstances and events, with different characters, different names, apparent but not real. But they are the same in the fundamental content. In other words, we're getting the same lesson all the time, the one central lesson, even though the way we get the lesson constantly changes, there are different circumstances and events that we get the one lesson in, there are different characters that show up to give us the one lesson, there are different themes that show up to give us the one lesson. But every single lesson, circumstance, or person, or encounter, the Course says, has one central thought that is trying to get us to see, which is, forgive and you will see this differently. So to forgive, the Course says, means to see it differently. So to forgive does not mean I'm going to overlook what you did to me, you low down dog, because I'm on a higher level of conscience than you. Okay, it doesn't mean you really hurt me and then I'm going to try to overlook what you did to me. The Course in Miracles definition of forgiveness is to learn how to see it differently. That if I'm seeing it differently, I am forgiving it. Okay? Then it says, certain it is that all distress doesn't appear to be but unforgiveness. All, any kind of distress, the book just says straight up, look, I know that you're not going to think the distress that you're going through right now is just the result of unforgiveness. He said, but that's the content underneath the form of your distress right now, is that there is an unforgiveness under this problem. There's an unforgiveness under this problem, under this distress. Under this distress is a grievance. Okay? Whew. It is this sameness which makes learning sure, because the lesson is so simple that it can't be rejected in the end, because no one can hide forever from a truth so very obvious that it appears in countless forms, yet is recognized as easily in all other forms, if one but wants to see the simple lesson here, which is forgive, and you will see this differently. He says, we can't hide forever from that truth, because that truth is going to keep coming at us in so many different ways that sooner or later we're going to come to the conclusion that we need to change our mind about the way that we're looking at whatever this distress is, so that we can start having more peace. Just sooner or later, I'm going to go, I need to see this differently, which is forgiveness. And it's going to keep coming at me over and over and over again. I used to wonder why patterns repeated themselves over and over. And the Course is saying, well, it's because you haven't learned the lesson. So as soon as you learn the lesson, then you don't need that lesson to keep showing up over and over again. So if I got a pattern that I've had since I was a child, I'm still missing the same lesson. So I'm not understanding that this situation is here to teach me to see things differently. This is another opportunity for me to see it differently. I can always tell when a big change of consciousness is happening, because everything electronic, mechanical, that can go wrong starts to go right. And it's funny, almost every single thing that I've tried to do since I walked in here didn't turn out the way that I planned. Fancy that. It's almost funny. It's like everything. It's like, okay, but guess what? I'm not going to give my peace away. I'm tired of giving my peace away. I notice as soon as one thing seems to be solved, then another one shows up, then another one shows up, and another shows up, and then I get just as serious about each one as if it's the first time it's ever happened. And the first one, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, I get, this is the big one out of all the things that's happened. The current one, this is the main one. This is the one that's going to end everything. If I can just get this one right, everything will be okay, right? Testing, 1, 2. Okay, then it goes, forgiving you will see this differently. These are the words the Holy Spirit speaks to all your tribulations, all your pain, all your suffering, regardless of this of its form. Forgive, and you will see this differently. Now, Course in Miracles' definition of forgiveness, one of them is correct perception or correct interpretation. So you could say...
Say that one more time?
Yeah, one of the Course in Miracles' definitions of forgiveness is correct perception. And perception is, he says, an interpretation. So when I forgive you, I'm correctly interpreting you. So to forgive you means to perceive you correctly. So if I perceive you correctly, I will see this differently. If I perceive this situation that's causing me distress correctly, I will see it differently. He says these are the words that the Holy Spirit speaks to in all your tribulations. And then the Course in Miracles describes the Holy Spirit as your loving right mind. So another term for the Holy Spirit is your loving right mind speaks in all your tribulations. If you correctly perceive this, you will see it differently. And that's how you get rid of your distress. You need to correctly interpret this. And he says, well, how do you know you're not correctly interpreting it? Because I don't experience this happiness that this book is talking about that's supposed to be undisturbed, eternal, forever gaining scope, eternally expanding in the joy of full creation. I'm not experiencing that right now. So if I'm not experiencing that right now, then I must not be seeing the way that the universe wants me to look at it, or I'll be experiencing that. So that means I need to forgive, which means what? I need to perceive correctly, which means I need to see this differently.
I have a question. So which comes first, the forgiveness or the seeing it differently?
They are synonymous.
Okay.
Yeah. Course in Miracles is just a book of synonymous statements.
Okay.
You know, you could read the book and, every sentence explains the next one basically because it assumes you won't know what it's talking about all the way through the book. I mean, I'm not kidding. I mean, I've been doing the Course in Miracles 25 years. I'm telling you, I can save you some time. It's not written linearly. It's written in a circular fashion. It reads in circles. And you can start in the middle of the sentence and it'll make sense. I've had times where I've read it backwards. And it made total sense. It's an amazing book.
You mean the words backwards?
If I just read the sentences, if I took the sentences and I read them backwards, they would still make sense. For instance, if I was to say, forgive and you will see this differently. What no one can have forever from a truth so very obvious that it appears in countless forms and yet is recognized as easily in all of them if one but wants to see the simple lesson there. But it is the sameness that makes learning sure, because the lesson is so simple it can't be rejected in the end. That is the content underneath the form. Certain it is that all distress doesn't appear to be but unforgiveness, but if you forgive, you'll see this differently. The lessons are the same in fundamental content. The form alone is changed with different circumstances and events, with different characters and different themes apparent but not real. Each lesson has a central thought, the same in all of them. God's will reflects all the lessons, and they reflect God's loving kindness to the Son He loves. These are the lessons that God would have you learn. See, going backwards, it still makes sense. Or you could read it right in the middle of the sentence. Like, look at the sentence right before sentence 5, where it says, forgive and you will see this differently. If you look at the sentence before that, it says, no one can have forever from a truth so very obvious that it appears in countless forms and yet is recognized as easily in all of them. If one but wants to see the simple lesson there, no one can have forever from a truth so very obvious that it appears in countless forms and yet is recognized as easily in all of them. If one but wants to see the simple lesson there, no one can have. So you can keep going right around and around and around the circle with the same sentence that it makes sense. Okay? Then it says, forgive and you will see this differently. Then it says, these are the words the Holy Spirit, which is your right mind, speaks to you in all your tribulation. Then I go, what are my tribulations? All your pain? Well, what's all my pain? All my suffering, regardless of the form. He says, these are the words with which temptation ends. So what happens when temptation ends? Well, the Course says, well, guilt is abandoned. How can you tell when you have abandoned guilt? Well, you don't revere guilt anymore. See how it reads? I mean, it just explains it. What does it mean for me to abandon guilt? Well, you're not revering it anymore. It's not like something you worship. He says, these are the words which end the dream of sin. And so I go, well, what do you mean by ending the dream of sin? Well, ending the dream of sin is ridding your mind of fear. When you rid your mind of fear, you end the dream of sin. He said, these are the words by which salvation comes to all the world. And of course, that salvation is nothing but the escape from concepts, right-mindedness, healing. So he says, these are the words by which healing comes to all the world. So what are the words that create healing? I need to forgive, and I will see this differently. I need to forgive. I need to see my mama differently. I need to see my daddy differently. I need to see my boss differently. I need to see my coworkers differently. I need to see television differently. I need to see Denver differently. I need to see traffic differently. I need to see my finances differently. I need to see God differently. I need to forgive everything in my life, which means right now, Lord, I want to see it all differently. One of the things about the Course in Miracles that's such a trip for the ego, the Course talks about, there's nothing so hard for a fearful man to see, or the ego to see, than the obvious. He said you want to present the hardest thing in the world for us to see. He says the obvious. He says simplicity is very difficult for twisted minds. That's in the book. It says simplicity is totally difficult for a twisted mind. The more twisted your mind is, then the more complicated everything has to be for you to be able to handle it. Okay? So for you to tell me that the answer to this problem that I've been in therapy for, I've been talking to all my friends about, I've been trying to handle it since the devil, you're trying to tell me that if I was to sincerely say, I want to see this differently. I really want to forgive. I want to see this differently. Then the answer would start to come to my mind. Because the Course is trying to tell us how to hear the voice inside of us that's trying to give us the answer to everything we're asking But the part of our mind that gives us the answer does not operate the same way as the part of our mind that gives us the distress or the problem. So it says that we're continually trying to hear the answer through the part of our mind that made the problem. So he says we need to practice the holy instant. And he says the holy instant is nothing but another state of mind. It's nothing but you taking yourself to the part of your mind where the answer is located. He says, now that's a holy instant. Okay, so the Course is saying there's a part of your mind where the problem is located, there's a part of your mind where the answer is located, you're focusing on the part where the problem is located, and then you need help about how to hear it. Here's a part of your mind that the answer is located, and that's what the journey is about. It's about teaching me how to go to the part of my mind that has the answer. Now, the Course then says the key to doing that is admitting that you are wrong in the way you see things now, and even more than that, hope you're wrong about the way you're seeing things now. Like, be glad you're wrong. Like, more than anything in the world, want to be wrong about the way you're seeing things. Especially if you're not peaceful, not happy, and you don't feel loved, and you don't feel connected. A miserable person ought not want to be right about anything. So really, think about it. Why would a miserable person want to be right? If they're right, then the situation they're in is real and they're stuck there. You want to be wrong about your financial situation if you want to step away from the bill collector. You know, if you have horrible relationships with men, you want to be wrong about your perception of men. If you have a horrible relationship with women, you want to be wrong about your perception of women. Of course, whatever it is that's causing you pain, you should be saying, I hope that I'm wrong. At least I can decide I don't like the way I feel. I can do that much. I can just say I don't like the way I feel. I don't like the way I feel. Now say, and so I hope I have been wrong. Okay? I hope I have been wrong. Then say, I want another way to look at it. I want another way to look at it. He says, then tell yourself, perhaps there is another way to look at it. You know, I want another way to look at it. Perhaps there is another way to look at it. Then he says, follow that up with saying, what can I lose by asking? What can I lose by asking for another way to look at it? Because I don't want to be right because I'm miserable. See, and the Course says that, you know, that's not the way we do it. Y'all know that's not the way we do it. The more upset we are, the more self-righteous we become, the more we think we're correct, we defend our position, and we get mad at anybody that even suggests we could be wrong about what we're so upset about.
That's right.
Right.
It's another perception of the problem, isn't it?
Yeah. What?
What you're just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another layer of the story of the prodigal son.
In what way?
I was thinking, I was just feeling.
Oh, okay.
Cool. She's channeling. She doesn't know what the hell she's talking about.
Well, join the club, honey.
Yeah, you know, we just think that we're so horrible and that there's no help. And the Father's just waiting so impatiently.
Yeah, I love there's a line in the Course where, you know, Jesus said, you want to go on the journey full of pain, I'm not going to go with you, but I'll wait here till you come back. We can travel on the journey. I would, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what I thought that was so cool, because I know exactly what the book is talking about. I used to have a tendency to want to go on the journey with the person that wanted to go into misery. Instead of just saying, well, you know, I see where you're going, but I don't intend to go there, and I'm not going to go there with you, but I'm here for you. If you ever decide that you want to go the right way, I'll be right here for you, and I'll be glad to show you, but I ain't going on your journey with you. And people don't know that when they form a relationship with someone, the Course says when you form a relationship with someone, what you're saying is, I am agreeing to experience the results of your thoughts with you. I'm agreeing to live through your thoughts with you. I'm agreeing to go through the results of the way you think and feel with you. I'm in a relationship with you. And we know that's exactly what happens in a relationship. Whatever your partner or your friend goes through, you go through it with them if you're in a relationship with them. Somehow or another, you are affected by that, or you allow yourself to be affected by that. So when you get ready to be with somebody, pay a close attention to the way that they think and the way that they perceive, because their life is a reflection of that perception. So you should ask yourself, do I want to take a trip with this perception? Do I want to experience this perception? And you might say yes. My person might have an incredibly beautiful, wonderful level of seeing things, and you might be thrilled. But on the other hand, you know that you shoot yourself in 3 days if you were with this person. So you have to kind of like be the judge. I know that butt might be cute, but it might not be worth it. Okay. I love it when I watch those shows on TV and they say, what do you look for them? Oh, and I want them to have blue eyes. Oh, yeah, that's really important in the scheme of things. He could be a serial killer as long as he had blue eyes. No, I don't know. Well, I'd be saying, I want somebody that's sane, that takes responsibility, that wants to extend love, that wants to get in touch with the truth. That peace is really something that's important to them, as well as the respect for freedom and individuality. That's what I'm looking for. And anybody that has a mind like that, I'm going to be okay with their body.
Try telling that to a dating service.
Yeah,
Match.com. I'm telling you. That's what I'm saying. Just try it. I bet you anything. If you went on Match.com and you put that in your particular, whatever it is, how you describe yourself,
profile.
Your profile, then the person that would be attracted to someone like that might be somebody worth going out with.
I actually know somebody who married somebody by putting in.
Yeah, just tell the truth.
Just tell the truth.
Yeah. You know, just tell the truth. That's what people don't do in those things. They don't tell the truth. Yeah, everybody lies. You know what I'm saying? They put their high school graduation picture in there and they're 75. Okay. Because they know that unless their body is acceptable, then in most cases they won't even get a chance to let you know what their mind is about.
Right.
Because we're in a reality that judges by appearances. And then we're in a reality that believes if you look good, you are good. That's why people put more emphasis on the way they look than the way they think. Because at the level of unconscious people, that would be where you should put a lot of energy into. Because unconscious people are more attracted to how somebody looks than who they are as a person. So if you want to attract somebody completely unconscious, by all means, do everything you can to attract their body's eyes. If you're interested in attracting a completely unconscious person, then you put all your emphasis on just attracting somebody's eyes through your body. You guarantee to attract somebody who's just focused on the body. And so therefore, what you are isn't as important as how you look. But what you begin to realize as you begin to wake up to your spiritual identity is that you're in a physical world where everything changes. So you know the body is going to change. And so you want to attract people to you who love beyond the body. People who love people because of who they are and how they think and what they're really about more so than what their body looks like. Because you're smart enough to know your body's not going to always look like it does when you're 25 years old. So you start focusing on your consciousness, attracting to you a type of person who loves you so much that you look beautiful to them no matter how old you are. And I've seen people like that, that are like 80 years old holding hands, walking down the street looking at each other as if they look like beauty queens, because they see that. They're not faking it. They really see the beauty in each other. Then there are other people who are like going crazy because their body is changing and they think they're going to lose their appeal because their body doesn't look like it used to. And which one of those do you want to be? Do you want to be somebody that attracts somebody that loves you for who you are? Do you want to be somebody that's 70 years old comparing yourself to somebody 23, judging your value by that? I'll tell you which camp I'm in, especially now that I'm a lot older than 23. I'm looking for some people who can see beyond the love handles. Can you see beyond that, baby? Am I still keep telling you? This motor hold on to it, you know what I'm saying? See, I forgave my body. I see it differently. See what I'm saying? That's what forgiveness is. It's seeing it differently. Okay. Now, this is a really deep section, and I'm going to try to keep going. But before I do, I want to take a few minutes. Anybody have any questions? It's comments and aha's.
Would you just say what you said about when you're in pain, you first say, I hope I'm wrong.
It's the rules for decision. It's the beginning of chapter 30. It's the first section of chapter 30. It'll give you all those steps, you know. And it tells you what to tell yourself when you don't like how you feel, you know. He says the reason why you want to hope that you're wrong so that you will not fight the help when it comes, because you'll realize the help is what you've asked for, so you won't be fighting it. The odd thing about teaching, and a lot of times teaching and observing as a teacher, is that people will come to a class because they say they want to change their mind or be happier or evolve in some level that they say they want. But they come in with an attitude of they want to be right, and they want to fight you, and they want to fit whatever you're saying into their thought system that they already have, and if it doesn't fit into their thought system, then they discard it. That may not be true of you, but that's a very common attitude. It's almost like they come in like warriors. It's just like, I've got to protect myself against the person who's saying that the only reason why they're here is to help me. So I'm going to approach it like this guy's going to try to take advantage of me, so I better be really careful about everything he says so that somehow or another I won't be taken advantage of. The Course said this so beautifully. He says that, you know, it doesn't mean that the guide isn't trustworthy. It means the follower isn't. Because it's the person that's, and by follower, I don't mean like I'm some kind of guru leader. I just mean that whoever's in the position that is giving and whoever's in that particular instance to receive, and that changes all the time. The teacher, student thing changes. But the person who's not trustworthy is the person who doesn't trust. That's who's not trustworthy. It's not the person that they're trying to check out whether or not they're trustworthy or not. You are the one that's not trustworthy because you don't trust. And who do I mean by trust? I don't mean trust Earl. I mean trust your purpose and trust your God and trust your Creator enough that if you sincerely want to be helped, you know that your Creator would protect you, and no matter what my motive was, you still would be protected, and I'd have to deal with my own motive. My own motive would be my karma, not yours.
Oh, I like that. So trust isn't trusting the other person. Okay, so you're with someone that you don't trust.
Why would you be?
Because you were after the body, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And, but then there you are with the mind.
Uh-huh.
And you can't trust it.
Uh-huh.
And so I've struggled with this, honestly. So then does that mean that I'm not trustworthy? Because I am. I believe I am, and I trust that the universe is going to support me in the end.
Mm-hmm.
So I struggle with this. To me, that's kind of a paradox.
Well, see, doubt and trust are impossible. The Course says they don't go together. You can't say you trust and that you doubt in the same sentence.
Did I do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all do it. We all do it because we're in a world that the Course says is an illusion that doesn't have like what appears to be 100% anything. So we are dealing with a world that is. But the point that I'm making is that in that situation that you're concerned about right now, if you were to forgive, if you were to ask for another way of looking at it, hope you're wrong, be open to your inner guide, right, you would be given a way to look at that situation. Or you would be told everything you needed to know about that person anyway, so that even if they were trying to fool you, they couldn't, because some way or another, you still would find out what you need to know. That's another thing the Course says, that the Holy Spirit will always let you know what you need to know.
So
you don't have to worry about will you find out what you need to know. You will.
So could it be that I don't have to look at that person as a... I mean, I do. I look at that person as a holy child of God.
With an ego.
With a big ego.
Okay.
Which is insane.
You're not being asked to trust the ego. You're being asked to trust the Holy Son of God. And that's what everybody gets. That's the confusion that people go through with the Course. I think the Course is asking you to trust Jack the Ripper.
Thanks.
Okay, it's not asking you to trust an ego. As a matter of fact, it's telling you the ego is the one thing you can't trust. You can't trust anybody who really doesn't know they're one with you.
Right.
And so just stop fooling yourself. If you're with someone who sees you as different from them and don't feel joined with you and don't feel connected with you and don't love you, of course you can't trust them. You understand what I'm saying? It's like you can't trust an ego. You can't trust somebody who thinks that they're different and separate from you, and that your interests are separate from theirs, and that you know, because they're looking out for themselves. They're not looking out for you as much as they're looking out for themselves. They're looking out for themselves more than they're looking out for you.
What does that mean when you just said your confession? You said you can't trust that person in your custody. Maybe I'm overthinking it.
Of course.
Probably likely.
Well, the purpose of analyzing it is to break it down so much that none of it makes any sense and all of it loses its value, and whatever rush that you got out of that truth is completely dissolved. And I'll also answer your question, but I just want you to know that's the ultimate purpose of breaking everything down, is actually to lose the meaning, because what happened was something impacted you and it made you go woo. Okay, that was the breakthrough moment. Then it's our ego's purpose after that to try to take that thought and confuse you with that thought and break that thought.
Yeah,
so
we're all good.
Right, yeah. And I'm just saying that's the process. And when you start to wake up, you start to really catch yourself going through that process so that you won't destroy the power of what you just heard. And go ahead and ask my question. Well, ask me the question.
I think we have kind of the same kind of question. You were just saying that you can't trust a person, you know, who, you know.
What no, you know what I mean about.
But then you were saying that someone who can't trust is the one who can't trust.
Right. I mean, the lack of trust is coming from you. The reason why there's somebody in your life that you don't trust is because you have those doubt, thoughts of doubt in your own mind. Everybody.
That's okay. That's my question. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who, she's great and I love her, and she's in my circle, but I can't let her in all the way, and I just can't trust her. And so what does that say about me? That's I'm not trustworthy.
Well, it's saying that you're learning how to forgive and you're learning how to see her differently. It's saying that you're in the same process of learning how to love just like the rest of us. That you're having another opportunity to see if you're going to trust yourself. To see if you're going to honor your own feelings. It's not really about her. That's the number one thing. It's not about her. It's about will you listen to yourself. And if your inner self is telling you right now, keep a certain amount of distance. Don't let that person in any more than that person is. If that's what you feel in your heart, if that's what you're feeling, then you need to put the feelings of your own being before anything or anybody or what I'm saying, what the book's saying, or what anything else is saying. Because the ultimate game is to learn how to listen to yourself and to get in touch with yourself and to pay attention to yourself. It doesn't even matter whether she's trustworthy or not. All that matters is... And the way you do that is you start listening to yourself. And at some point on the spiritual path, you have to start listening to yourself, even if you're wrong. It's still about you learning how to honor your own feelings and honor who you really are.
That's the hardest
thing.
So could it be that I don't trust myself because I made this bad choice?
Of course we don't trust ourselves. If we trust ourselves, we'd be experiencing the unlimited happiness that this book is talking about. That's what it's trying to get us to see. It's really not complicated. If I really and truly was being the love who I am, I would have no fear, there would be no fear, I would see no fear.
I know.
Okay, so it is in your mind. It is in your consciousness. Every single thing that you're perceiving is in your consciousness. Whatever you are attracting to you is attracted to you because of your consciousness. You are the answer. And so all you need to do, and I need to do, is to learn how to see things differently. So I need something to give me the new perceptions that I need to have in order to see you differently. And that's what the course is doing. It's giving us the new perceptions that we need to have to see things differently. But your real self, the self that's beneath who you think you are, is love, is whole, is complete, is totally perfect. It's beneath the beliefs and the feelings and emotions that you have about yourself.
And I know that you've said over and over it's removing the blocks to that.
Right. See, I'm talking to you. I'm not really talking to your ego. There is no answer I can give you that your ego is going to accept. So I'm not even talking to your ego. There's you and there's your ego, and there's me and there's my ego.
Yeah.
And so I've been doing this for quite a while, and I know when I'm talking to the ego. Because the ego is simply the part that there is no answer that you can give it that will satisfy it because it's not looking for an answer. It's the part of the mind that thrives through confusion and thrives through not knowing and thrives because it's through that confusion that I maintain my sense of separation and my sense of fear. It's through me having conflict that I keep myself separate. So there's a part of the mind, the core says, it doesn't really want to answer and never understand the answer and will never accept, but it says it will ask endless questions. Okay, I'm not talking about you. I mean, it's in the book. I mean, the book says it. It'll ask endless questions, but it'll never perceive a meaningful answer. And it will always follow up one question with another question with another question with another question because what you just said was a threat to your old self, and the old self defends itself by questions constantly. I want to go forever. I want to go on. Okay. Yeah. He says, now, shall we not learn to say these words when we're tempted to believe that pain is real? But forgive, and I will see this differently. He said, death becomes our choice instead of life when we don't choose to see it differently. He says, shall we not learn to say these words, I will forgive and see this differently, when we have understood their power to release all minds from bondage? So why is it that a person would not say these very simple words? He says, well, it's because you don't understand the power that they have to release your mind. If you really understood how powerful these words are in heaven to release you from that fear that you have right now, you would be spending all your time trying to remember to ask to see it differently, and that would be your number one priority, would be focusing on the new way of seeing things. That would become your number one priority. Okay, you're giving me the answer, I'm going to use the answer. You give me the answer, especially when I don't have to accept the answer, I don't have to welcome the answer, and I don't have to believe the answer.
Can you say the first part of that again? Sorry,
Helen, you gotta remember.
It's very difficult, if I can, because a lot of, that's no joke. Most of the stuff that I'm saying is, no. To me, it's very important that you ask these questions, and I'll tell you why. A lot of times when I'm talking, people will hear something that frightens them or that they misperceive, and they won't say anything. And then they scare themselves about something that they said, and then they don't come back. And they don't realize that they were the one that scared themselves. And so it's natural for questions to come up, and I don't mind that. I'm not discouraging that at all. But what I was saying, what it was saying was that the reason why I won't use the truth is I don't understand its power to release me. Because if I really believed it would release me, I would really be spending my time applying it.
So the reason we don't want to believe the truth is that we can't believe the truth. Because we don't understand its power.
Because we don't understand its power, that's why we don't use it. But we do know the power of fear. We do know the power of attack. We do know the power of separation. We do know the power of doubt. We do know the power of suspicion. That's what I'm saying. The book is asking us to do things that are totally opposite to the way that we are programmed to do things, so quite naturally we would feel afraid and defensive when we hear it. It makes perfect sense. That's why it's trying to let us know you're not by yourself. You have invisible help. And the purpose of that help is to protect you and guide you through this. You're not being asked to do this by yourself. And you do have protection. And you do have help. The Course in Miracles is very, very difficult teaching for an atheist. It really is. Because it's a level of teaching that demands that you start to accept the idea that you are not alone. And so it's very difficult for a man that's used to being autonomous and self-sufficient and do everything on his own and think it's alone to tap into a teaching that's all about learning how to open yourself up to other parts of yourself that you never knew existed. I can understand that. But it's a lot easier to have things done through you and for you than for you to try to make them happen and figure it all out by yourself. So we're going into a level of consciousness that's about being guided, directed, and to allow things to be done through us, through a power that's in us that didn't come from us. So if you're ready in your life to have things unfold, if you're ready to have things be created for you, corrected for you, then you're on the right track. This is a cool book. If you still just want to make everything yourself and figure everything out yourself and do it by yourself, then this is the wrong. I would suggest that this is the wrong thing to study. It's because it's going to drive you crazy. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It'll drive you crazy. If you're a person who refuses to believe that there's anything other than you. You know what I'm saying? If you're a person that just can't accept that there are two kinds of people: atheists and martyrs. Atheists are people who believe they're alone, and martyrs are the people that believe that God demands some kind of sacrifice. It's very difficult for people like that to accept a teaching that's based on unconditional love and support, even beyond what you think you deserve, no matter what you think you've done. That's a level of love that a guilty man can hardly even comprehend. That somebody's going to love me and help me, no matter how dastardly I've been, I'm still going to be loved, I'm still going to be helped. A really guilty man... A man that really believes in punishment, that is the hardest idea in the world for a person that believes in guilt and punishment to accept, is that there could be a love so great that no matter what you've done, you could be helped and you could still be loved. That's almost inconceivable to us. It says because we're in a world where we think love is a bargain, where we give our love based on how people act and what they do, and if they don't do a certain thing and act a certain way, we would draw that love. So it's hard to believe that we could be ourselves receiving unconditional love. But you know you are, and no matter what your child thinks about himself, it has nothing to do about how you feel about your child. So it doesn't matter what you think about yourself, it has no effect on that which created you and its love for you. I'm telling you, we're more loved than we could ever imagine, and the book is just trying to help us get rid of the blocks to realizing you're getting the answer to all your problems right now, but you don't hear the answer right now because you're listening to your own thoughts right now. You're listening to what you have made up right now, and the book is saying that's why you don't hear that answer. It's because you're listening to your mind, what you made up. And I want to teach you how to listen to the real thoughts. And how to be able to tell when the real thoughts are showing up. So when you study the Course, it teaches you how to tell the difference between when you're listening to the part of your mind that doesn't know what the hell is going on for real, and when you listen to the part of you that's in touch with infinite intelligence. And that's just as real. That's just as real. It's more real. You are more loved than you could ever imagine. Now, the last thing he says, these are the words, I will forgive and see this differently. He says, these are the words which give you power over all events that seem to have power over you. I'll say it again. These are the words which give you power over all events that seem to have been given power over you. You will see them, all of these events that seem to have been given power over you, rightly when you hold these words in full awareness. Now, what does it mean to hold these words in full awareness? That's a great question. Okay, how do I hold these words in full awareness? Then the next part of the sentence tells you, do not forget these words. I will forgive and see this differently. Do not forget these words apply to everything you see or any brother looks upon amiss. So how do I keep something in full awareness? I apply it to everything. How do I stay conscious of something all the time? Well, I use it all the time. So the way I keep anything in full awareness is I don't forget that this applies to every situation I'm in. That's how I keep it in full awareness. How do I keep something in full awareness? I don't forget that this applies to every situation I'm in. I don't care what the situation is, I want to see it differently. I want to see you differently. I want to see you differently, you differently, you differently, you differently, you differently. So I'm applying that idea of seeing you differently in every situation, so that therefore I'm holding that idea in full awareness. If you want to hold the idea of your innocence and your power in full awareness, then don't forget in every situation you are powerful. And that's what you do. In every situation, I'm the one that's determining how I feel in every situation. How do I keep that in full awareness that I'm the one that's choosing the feelings I experience? Well, in every situation, I tell myself I'm the one that's determining the way I feel in this situation. And I don't let any situation not be interpreted that way. And the temptation is to what? Exclude some situations. And the Course says that the situations that you exclude are the way that you have decided to continue to punish yourself. Because the truth would just as much heal that situation as any other situation, but the situation you don't apply the truth to is just the situation that you've decided to hold on to keep your own pain going. That's deep, man. That's deep. So he says, you know, he says, the book says, you know, every problem that hasn't been solved, well, those are the ones you have been handling by yourself. If you want to be able to tell which ones you're handling and which ones you've chosen to handle with your higher self, the ones that you haven't had handled or solved, those are the ones you're still doing on your own. And you need to be clear about that. You still, in other words, you still have made up in your mind the way you think it ought to go, and you're refusing to let go of the way you see it. And the way you see it is being defended to the extent that you're not allowing the truth to apply and to be applied in that situation. So then you go, well, how do I begin to let go of this block that I have in this area? The way I do it is I go, at least I can decide I don't like this situation. At least I can decide I don't like this person. At least I can decide I don't like this circumstance. But you know what? I hope I am wrong about it. So to begin to just get some little crack in that armor, I need to start out by saying, you know, I hope I'm wrong about you. I really hope I'm wrong about you. I really want to see you differently. Because everybody in you has love, everybody around us has love in them, and all we have to do is get to the level of consciousness that allows us to tune into the love that's already there. We're just on the wrong channel with people. You know, so what happens with our ego will actually make that person be completely what we think they are. In other words, the person you say is not trustworthy might be the person that's the most trustworthy person that another person has ever seen in their life, that's helped them more than anybody else that they've ever known. That very same person that you can't stand, somebody else is like thankful the night that they're going out to dinner with them. The same person. There's somebody that, because the cool person's on channel 8 and the hellacious person is on channel 4, and you're just insistent on not changing the dial. And so you stand on that same channel because that's what you decided is true about them. And so the Course is saying, if you're stuck and you like to really have a new perception, then the first thing you have to tell yourself is, I'm willing to see this differently, and I hope I'm wrong, and I don't want to be right. There's another way to look at them. Please give me another way to look at them. I want another way to look at them so bad. I need another way to look at it. Please give me another way to look at it. And you will be given another way to look at it. And what's cool about the new way of looking at it is that even if it just makes you feel a teeny bit better for just one little second, there's still a crack in the armor of your perception that's starting. That's what we have to understand. Every little bit is an improvement. If you would have went screaming, hollering down the street, tearing your hair out about that person last week, is now reduced to you breaking a few dishes. That's improvement. And you need to give yourself credit for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Give yourself credit. You all know you've been improving, but you're just not giving yourselves credit for it. All of you are doing better than you did before in the past. Give yourself credit for that, because when you're grateful for the way that you've changed, that is forgiveness of yourself, and it's through forgiving yourself that you'll begin to see the harmony and the peace happen around you. So really, to forgive for real means to ask to see myself differently. So tonight I want to see myself differently. And that means I want to see you as innocent, as happy, as unlimited, as free, and as sinless and as guiltless as you really are. I might not see you that way. I want to see you that way. I'm willing to see you that way. I'm willing to be wrong so I can see you that way. I'm willing to open my mind to the possibility that you might be that way. That is forgiveness. I'm willing to entertain the idea that there's another way. Look at you. I'm forgiving you just by even having the little slightest willingness to take another perspective. That is forgiveness. So you are very forgiving people. Or you wouldn't be sitting here tonight. I'm going to stop here. Woo! Can we acknowledge ourselves? This is not for me. This is for us. It's cool to acknowledge us. Right? You know? I know. So try to let yourself be with it, even though your mind is going to go crazy, you know, trying to figure it all out. If you walk out of here tonight going, you know, I just want to remember one thing out of tonight, and that is, I am willing to see this difference. See what I'm saying, Seth's doing? Now, what good would it do me to attack myself because the...
Exactly.
You know, but I used to do it.
Right.
I used to, something like that would go, and I go... And that's me attacking myself. And that's what the Course in Miracles taught me. He says, you know, every time you feel bad about something, he says, why don't you say to yourself, this thought is an attack upon myself. And he says, if you start doing that, you will absolutely stop doing it. Because it become insane to you to keep attacking yourself all day long.
But you're not saying that in certain circumstances we wouldn't see the other person, we could see them differently and still call 911.
Well, that's part of being conscious.
Yeah, right?
See, part of being conscious is that you would know when to call 911.
There you go.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I could call 911 and still not hate you. I could call 911 and still not feel like you were a sinner.
So just
you are making a big mistake.
Right.
This is a mistake. Something unloving is a mistake. This is a big mistake. A mistake is for correction. So each individual situation that comes up will have to be handled individually. So the Course is trying to teach us how to go within, so that as each individual situation comes up, your inner self will tell you what to do. And that will change from person to person. Your inner self might tell you with one person, grab them and hold them. And your inner self might tell you with another person to walk away. So there's no cut and dry behavioral rules. And that's what we look for. We look for somebody to say, this is what you should do outwardly in every situation. And the Course is saying, no, this is the attitude you would have in every situation. But what you're going to do outwardly, your inner self is going to tell you how to handle that situation outwardly. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, yeah. I can love you. My attitude should be you and I are one. But then my inner self might say, yeah, he's one with you. But don't loan him that money. You see what I'm saying? He's one with you, but you might not do that.
And on the other end, clear away from Catholicism would be that you could forgive and not have to reconcile. Because I grew up in that tradition where if you really forgive me, then you're still with me.
Right, that's why most people don't want to forgive, because they think you have to go out to lunch with the person.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, right?
Yeah.
They think, well, if I forgive my old boyfriend, does that mean that now we're supposed to be going out to the movie together? You know what I'm saying? So a lot of people, they don't realize, they don't want to forgive, because they think by forgiving, they'll have to be back with a person or a situation. Right. So we don't even realize how much we don't want to forgive, because we think it's in our best interest to stay separate. See what I mean? Oh, yeah. So, thank you for sharing in the love offering. I teach the Course in Miracles full time. That's how I earn a living. And I do it on a love offering basis, so that no matter what a person's financial situation is, they can still come to a class or receive whatever I do. So I really appreciate your generosity. And it's my pleasure. It's what I'm. It's one thing that feels right. It's when I'm letting myself be used for sanity. So I want to thank y'all for sharing with me. To share with Unity Temple. And I want to thank you for being willing to listen to the Course, it's hardcore, as I'm doing it. Because there's nothing more, there's nothing deeper than working out of this book. But I want to, and I'll say it again, I love the questions. Because I really believe whatever somebody asks, everybody or some people and other people in the room are asking themselves that exact same question. Isn't it a trip, though, that the hardest thing for us to accept is our own innocence? You know, and one of my best defenses against my own innocence is my focus on my brother's guilt.
Yeah.
What I mean by innocence is that you're not inherently evil. You're not inherently bad. You're not incomplete. You have not broken the laws of God. You cannot break the laws of God. Anybody that could break the laws of God certainly would be a person that could always pay their bills. You know, if you're powerful enough to totally, you know, break the laws of the universe, you certainly got to have enough power to at least give yourself a good human life. You know, think about it.
Yeah.
You know, if you think you could do something that the most powerful presence in the universe could not handle, that is like, the Course says it, that's like the height of arrogance. To think that I could do something so bad that the most infinite love that is could not heal that, could not handle that. That there wouldn't be, I could do something so bad there is no solution. And he says it won't look like there's a solution from the perspective of a body that dies. It's only in getting in touch with who you are beyond the body that you will realize your true power. Being your body will start to really be fun, because we take so much pressure off of it. Right now, it's just too important. It means too much. It's your way of moving around and having this experience innocently. But somewhere along the line, we just went crazy, right? Now it's everything. You know, when my body dies, I die. That's what the Course says we believe. When my body, or we'll say there's life after death, but nobody's exactly rushing to die, so evidently everybody's perception of that ain't too cool either. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. You know what I'm saying? If the next level was just so exciting, you know, why isn't everybody just rushing to the next level, getting out of these bodies as fast as they possibly can? You know why? Because in our hearts, we know that we came here. Our purpose in coming here was to show other people that it's possible to be happy here. Mm-hmm. That we came here to bring love into this experience. That's why we're here. But we got to let go of all our own self-hatred and doubt so that the love that we are can start to do its thing. Because you really are love. That's who you really are. Mm-hmm. That's all you are. Mm-hmm. You know, you're perfect. That means you're whole. You're complete. There's nothing missing in you. You're not going to be recalled. So my job is to remind you of that. Your job is to remind me of that. That's what sages do. They don't let each other forget how beautiful they are. They don't let each other forget how beautiful they are. We might make mistakes, but we're beautiful. We might make mistakes, but you're cool. You might make mistakes, but you're still lovely. That's what a savior does. A savior won't let you drown yourself in guilt and fear. That's what a savior does. You know, it won't let you forget how cool you are. And I'm not. I don't care how much you run away or stay. I'm not gonna side with your guilt. I'm not going to side with you being weak and victim and powerless. I don't care how, I'm not going to side with you, but I don't want you to side with mine. I don't want you to side with my grievances either, my guilt either. You got to be it to have it, be it to have it. The Course says be it to have it, be it to have it. So I had to make that decision. Well, Earl, you're going to finally have to bite the bullet, buddy, and you're going to have to actually be loving. You're going to have to be kind. You got to be patient. You have to, you know, you have to be it. And I went, oh, Lord, have mercy. Be it? Yeah. Yeah, you got to be everything you keep asking for. You're going to have to be it yourself if you really want to have it. And I'll show you how. And it's easier than what you've been doing, I promise you. It is. It's a lot easier. Okay, so we're getting ready to go back out in the lab. This class is available on CD. If you'd like to dare listen to it again, you can order it and get a copy of it at $5 prepaid. And Sunday at 1 o'clock is the next class from 1 to 2. And then I have another one at 12 noon on Wednesday. Any announcements? Anything anybody needs to share before we kind of bring them, take a minute tonight, kind of just bring us in together?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, brother.
Thank you for being unlimited and beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you for your correct perception. See, I hang out with you. See, it's easy to tell who to be around. Just because we recognize each other's beauty, that doesn't mean he wouldn't let me know something I honestly needed to know. But you know what? Because I know he sees me this way, I'd be much more prone to listen to him than I would be somebody that's criticizing me. I'm much more willing to listen to somebody to correct my errors if they think they need to, who loves me, than somebody who's always judging me and then still want to tell me what to do. You know what I'm saying? No, thank you. No, thank you. So if you choose to love yourself, don't freak out if a lot of people leave your life. Because people who want to suffer and who love conflict and pain are not attracted to people who want peace and who are peaceful. Drama kings and queens are not attracted to people who would be easy to get along with. So as you become easier to get along with, people who need drama may drop away from your life, but they'll be replaced by people who love you even more. You won't miss them. I guarantee you. You won't miss them. You'll be like, wow, this is so satisfying. I think I'll be here with this right now. If you reflect on the past a lot, it's because you're not happy. Because if you were happy now, you'd be so busy enjoying yourself, you wouldn't have time to think about that person from the past. Because your present moment would be too full. So instead of trying to get them back, you should be focusing more on how you can let yourself have more joy right now. That's how you let go of the past. The Course says you let go of the past by letting yourself be as happy as you possibly can right now. But that'll automatically take care of releasing the past. So being happy and treating yourself right is practical. Okay? All right. I'll see y'all the next time. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
All for hugs are available.
Hey, Earl, how are you?
Good.
I could have been out 3 times when I asked you. First of all, thanks for being here. Second thing,
so long as I can't be here right now.
I had a confession. Something I should read in the book. I'm terrified of flying. Getting on an airplane tomorrow. Is that what you're talking about? Do I need to pay out my car?
I have.
I'm glad you
missed it.
Oh, okay.
But I'm sorry, I don't think of Seattle.